All right, tremendous song. Thank you for being here this morning. Sorry about that scripture. John chapter 5 is a really good chapter. We're just not going to be in John chapter 5 today. So that was my fault. I think I forgot the one when I told him what to read. We have been in our series the beginning of the year, and we're talking about leveling up this year and just trying to get to a higher level in every part of our Christianity, in every part of our life. And I want to talk about that again very practically today, and I want to help us with that. When you look at something that's a living organism, you can tell its health by what it is producing. By the way, it's not just living things, it's anything, right? If someone has a business, you can tell if it's a good business. Is it thriving? Is it producing anything, or is it on life support? Same thing is true as a human or a baby. A baby is healthy. The baby is going to grow. By the way, they grow a lot faster. It's like, weren't you just, you know, this, and now you're already getting married? It goes fast, trust me. In the Bible, if a Christian is healthy, it will be known by what it produces. Now, the Bible has a term for that, and if you know anything, if you've been a Christian for a while, if you know anything about that, the Bible calls that fruit, right? If a tree is healthy, a tree will produce fruit. One of the ways you could tell if a tree is not healthy is it producing fruit or not? We've had several. We lived in a house several years ago, and we had a plum tree in the back, and it was dying. It was pretty much dead. It wasn't doing much producing, so we had to take it out. And right next door to us, my neighbor came out the other day. There was a tree there. He goes, "Don't park your car by that tree." He said, "It's dead. It's about ready to fall over." And so we haven't been parking there. And I came out the other day after it was windy, and he was right. It fell. It snapped right in half. So when something is healthy, it will be strong, it will be secure, and it will produce something. The Christian life, we call that fruit. So what if something isn't producing fruit? What if a Christian is not producing fruit? Here's the statement. That means that is a sign to us that, and I don't take this in a wrong way, there's something wrong with our Christianity. Not with Christianity in general, but how is that playing out in my life? Fact of the matter is, and we'll explain it in a little bit, it is unnatural for a Christian not to have fruit in their life. Just as it is natural for a Christian to have fruit in their life. Look at verse 16. It should not be a surprise that God wants us to be fruitful. John 16 says this. John 15:16. "Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain." And so that's the Christian concept. If you read that whole chapter, he's talking about fruit. We'll look at one aspect of it in a minute. He wants things to be produced in our life simply because we are Christians. And that fruit can really be leveled up. God wants us to level up in our fruitfulness. One of the many lessons of this chapter as we look at the text is the concept of having fruit. Look what he says. Well, let's read the whole verse in verse 16, and let me explain it to you, and then we'll get to where we're going this morning. "Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you," and he says, "I and ordained you." What does he mean? He means he's ordained us to have fruit. Ordained means appointed or made to do something. God says, I have appointed you, so if you are a Christian, this is what you are to do. You are to have fruit in your life. It is not possible for a Christian not to have fruit. It is just part of what he has made us for. Once we're saved, he says, now Christianity, you are a Christian, so Christianity is your life, and so there ought to be evidence of that. So he's ordained us to have fruit. He says, "And that ye should go and bring forth fruit." We're supposed to bring it forth. That means to bear it, so it comes out. By the way, it comes out of us outwardly because it is a part of us inwardly. But look what he says, and that your fruit should remain. He says that it should be lasting and it should continue. That's what remain means. It means to continue, to not depart from. I have met many Christians, and maybe for a short time in their life, there is some fruit that God is growing as God works in their life as they grow in the faith. And then years later, they have less fruit. It wasn't lasting. But God says, I don't just want you to have fruit today and grow in your fruit like that. I want it to be something that is a part of your life from now unto the end. So what does that mean? God wants us to have fruit. What is fruit? That which originates or comes from something. It's an effect or a result. So if it originates from our Christianity. It is a result of our Christianity. And it is seen by everybody. And it should be natural. Let's just be real honest. If we look around the landscape of Christianity in general in our country, far more Christians claim to be Christian than have the fruit to actually prove that they are a Christian. And I'm not saying that to say they're not a Christian. I think we just sometimes we don't allow God to work in us to produce that fruit, right? My plum tree in the back yard wasn't producing fruit. It wasn't that it quit being a plum tree. It just quit producing plums, which was okay because I really don't like plums. I was more than okay to dig that thing and throw it out, all right? But so that happens to us sometimes where God's goal is for us to have this fruit in our life and it ought to just last. So if we're talking about that, then what type of fruit should we have? Let me give you a couple of them. And they're all very, very basic. We will not spend a lot of time on them. The first fruit we should exhibit is the fruit of staying. What do you mean by that? Look at John chapter 15 and then look at verse number 4. He says, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye, there's the key word there, abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. And he that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth, look at that what he says, much fruit. And then he's going to teach a point to you here. He says, for without me, ye can do nothing. That's part of our problem, right? We're trying to produce this on our own. And the fact of the matter is, some of the stuff he asks us to do, we can't do it on our own. We need God's help for us to be able to do that. So when I say staying, what's he talking about? He's talking about abiding in him. The word abiding means to remain, dwell, continue and endure at a specific place. He says, you are a part of me. What is he talking about? He's talking about a relationship, and he gives the picture. He is the vine. He is the, as it were, the trunk, the core. And we are the branches. And as the branches, we are connected to the vine, and we come out from the vine. And where does the fruit from the branch show itself? Through the vine. He says, you're the vine, I'm the vine, you're the branches. So you must abide in me. You take that branch and you cut it off from the vine, it has no more life-giving source and it will not have fruit. The fact of the matter is, it'll shrivel up and it'll die. He says, you must abide in me. You must stay close to me. What's he talking about? He's talking about a relationship. He's talking about letting God work in your life. How does that happen? Because, see, look, we won't have to selfishly manufacture some of the fruit I'm going to talk about if we're connected to the branch. It'll be natural. Everything we need to produce fruit is going to come through the vine to the branch. And if it's coming through us, to us from the vine, we will naturally produce it. How can that happen? There's so many different things. We have to get into the Bible. We have to understand the truths of Scripture. We'll talk about that in a little bit. Then we need to come with an open heart to hear what it says. In Matthew chapter 13, he talks about the seed of the Word of God taking root in our heart. We've got to let it work in our life. It doesn't happen if we're not listening, if we don't want to hear what he says. Come on now. How, you can hear what someone says without listening to what they're saying. Are you with me? You know what they call that? Marriage. Come on. How many ever been talking to your spouse and they checked out? Right? You can just say whatever you want. Wives, your husband's like spacing out here and you're talking to him. Say, can, you know, I just took $1,000 out of the bank because I want to have, oh, okay, that's great. Okay? But that's how a lot of people treat God. We listen, but we don't hear. It's just words, and we're not listening. So we have to come with an open heart. And then we have to be committed to doing what it says. It shouldn't just come in this ear and out the other. It does us no good. You think of a strainer, right? A strainer, is, when I think of a strainer, it's, I think of pasta. You boil the pasta, and then you put it in the strainer to get the hot water out. Is that right? Okay. So you take that strainer, and like, I'm going to take it to the sink, and I'm going to hold water. And you put it, it's not going to hold the water. It's going to go through the strainer. That's what most Christians do with God's truth. I see it, but it's just here and it's out there because I'm not doing anything with it. Where he tells us the blessing comes from doing what it says. Say, well, wait a minute. If I got to abide in Christ to bear fruit, how is abiding in Christ a fruit? Because it's just a natural thing we'll want to do when we get saved. The fruit of salvation is I now have a relationship with Christ, and I want to make that relationship strong. And so he's telling us about that we need to understand that we have to stay. That's the first fruit of that we do here. We stay. Secondly, and I already alluded to it, he talks about Scripture. Now, I alluded to Matthew chapter 13 and Mark chapter 4. In Mark chapter 4, verse 20, he says this, "And these are they which are sown on good ground and hear the word and receive it, and they bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. As we go to the Scripture and we let it work in our life, it'll start to germinate. It'll start to produce fruit. For some people, that's 30-fold. That's pretty good. How would you like to invest, you know, $100 and get 30-fold back? Some 60-fold. Some 100-fold. I think that the more we go as a Christian, the more open we are in our heart to letting God's word really connect, the more fruit it's going to produce in our life. And we need to be really in tune with that. As I said, we just let it come in one ear and out the other. And we need to be very careful that we don't get caught up in that. Say, so Pastor, why is it that I struggle to let the seed germinate my heart? Well, is your heart ready to receive it? You see, sometimes our heart gets a little hard, right? How many of you ever, you know, you're just, your compassion level's like super low. Right? Okay, thank you for sharing. The rest of us would raise our hands, right? I'll raise both and my leg, all right? You know, it's like, it's just not as receptive. Maybe you're sitting down there, sometimes we're worried about what's going on in this life. In Matthew 13, in Mark chapter 4, the word of God went to four different hearts, but only one produced fruit. And so what is it that's keeping my heart? Sometimes we're worried about what's going on in this life. Fact of the matter is, sometimes we're allowing things in our life that aren't right, and it's keeping the God's word from doing anything in our life. That's why God talks about break up the fallow ground. You know, if you're going to plant something, you gotta till the ground and get the dirt soft and ready to receive the seed. And so we need the Scripture, and I'm encouraging you today, get into your Bibles. By the way, be faithful to church. And listen to what's going on. And God, what do you have for me? What are you trying to tell me today? And listen to it and allow it to be a part of your life. Now we'll get to a real hard fruit of the Spirit. It's the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians chapter 5, verse number 22 and 23. I've just been teaching this in our Filipino class, the best Sunday school class in the church, by the way, because I'm in there. But Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, it says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is," and listen to these, "love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law." Now, primarily, these are inward qualities. But when you get the inward qualities right, what do? They show themselves outwardly. By the way, and I've said it over and over, if you read these things, they're not natural. It's not natural for a person to be long-suffering. What is long-suffering? Suffer long. Don't have time for that. Get over it, get done, do it. Right? Gentleness. No. I'm not saying that's not natural. We're like, no, I'm not gentle. It's, you know, like a freight train. If you don't do it, I'm going to run over you and move on with my life. But you know what happens? God wants you to allow the Spirit to produce this inward fruit in us. You know, a lot of people, I'm committed to the truth of the Bible. And I know some people that are staunch. And I'm good with that. Like, Bible says it, I believe it, I'm doing it. And if you disagree, you're wrong. Real strong. And I appreciate their stand for God's truth. But on the other side of the coin, their attitude stinks. You know, there are things in the Bible, and if you've been here long enough, you know it's true. I believe it 100%. Our society's wrong, and I'm in. But I don't have to be an idiot. Sorry, I shouldn't say that. I don't have to be unkind. You know, people don't like me because I believe the truth. No, they don't like you because you're just yucky. We have to have a good spirit. Most people are reacting to your spirit than they are your beliefs. Now, there are people, now our country is so divided, and some people, like, you know, you don't believe, we don't have to hate each other because we disagree. Where's the love? Now, love isn't changing what you believe, but where's the joy? Where's the peace? Where's the long-suffering? Where's the gentleness? Where's the meekness? We don't let it get, you know, well, I'm just, okay. You know what we do? Some people use this as an excuse to be bad-spirited. Where's the fruit of the Spirit? By the way, I'm with you. I want to be bad-spirited. Because you know why? I'm sinful. And don't look at me like that. You are too. But when we got saved, the Spirit helps us to overcome that. It helps us to be kind and gentle when we want to be unkind and mean. You're looking at me like there's something wrong with me, but I suggest you walk by a mirror too. We're all like that sometimes. But you know what makes us better? Just the closer we are to God, right? That's why I say, listen, if the Bible teaches us about a bunch of different subjects, you know, relationships, all these different things. But I'm telling you right now, if we just get in the Bible and we just are committed as a Christian, it should help you in every area of your life. Because the fruit of the Spirit does that. I believe being a 100% Christian is where it's at. You know, another area we need to be fruitful, and many of us aren't, Proverbs 11:30. He says, the fruit of the righteous. By the way, if you're saved in Christ, you're righteous. Your record is. Now, we struggle with that outwardly sometimes. We have to work on it. But when we stand before God, he sees the righteousness of Christ. But the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. You want to get to next level Christianity in your fruit? Let people know you're a Christian. Invite others to be a Christian. That's what we are to do. Do you know how Christianity has spread over the years? The way God designed it. God designed it like this, person to person. That's how it works. You know, I've heard people, and how did I become, you know, this angel came and spoke to me. No, that's not how God works. God used people. Okay? You see these people, an angel took me to heaven for 5 minutes, and then they write 27 books. You must have learned a lot in 5 minutes. No, God uses people to encourage other people. The problem is with us, we want to be silent about our faith. I think it's getting better, but we do live in a society that if you disagree with what's going on, they want you to be quiet about it. If you're a Christian, they don't want to hear about it. You're not allowed to have an opinion. They're just trying to keep us quiet. why would we keep quiet about Jesus Christ? Think about that for a minute. I mean, if something is good, why would we be quiet about it? Wouldn't it just be natural that the fruit of being saved and having eternal salvation and forgiveness, that is so wonderful that we would want others to have that as well? When I started living for God as a young man, my life was completely changed. The first thing I did was start bringing my family to church, and they were getting saved. I started going by myself. Next thing you know, after several months, our church up in Paramount at that time, they had pews, these long pews. We had two pews of my family members there every Sunday. We just started bringing them one by one, family by family. That's what I wanted. I didn't want to just say, this is working for me. I wanted my family members to have that. Wouldn't it just be natural that the fruit of a connected relationship with Christ, that we would want others to have that as well? That we don't have to just live this life on our own. We can look to the scripture and find what God says and get the answers. Isn't it just natural if we get in the fruit of God's blessing in our life? Why wouldn't we want others to experience that? You know, God can take a marriage that is struggling and make it strong. God can take a family that has issues and can help it. God can take a life with no purpose and all kinds of problems and just getting into all this nonsense, and God could change that, and not just change it to where everything's calm, but change it to where it's fruitful and God's working in your life. Why wouldn't you want others to have that? Why would we keep that to ourselves? You know, it's great. One of the greatest things I discovered as a Christian was a church family. I enjoyed being at church. Why wouldn't I want others to experience that? So easy. You say, Pastor, I don't know how to talk. Invite someone to church with you. I didn't know. I had a bunch of friends, and we got in trouble, and we're doing all kinds of stuff we shouldn't be doing. And when I got saved, they'd come, hey, what are you doing? I'm like, you need to come to church with me. And they're like, you know, they give me that look like, what? And I bring them to church. Now, I probably should have told them, I'd bring them down to the front to one of the assistant pastors and say, Dave, you need to talk to my friend. He needs to get saved like I got saved. But I was concerned. You know another area where we should have fruit? In our speech. That's a tough one. I'm not going to spend time here because I'm convicted just by reading it. Hebrews 13:15, by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips. Now, understand this. I get it. This is one of the hardest areas. That's why James tells us that we're never going to completely get this. But he says this. Here's a promise. He says, to the degree that you can start to control what you say is to the same degree you'll be able to control your life. Think about that. Why would he say that? Because it's the hardest. It is, come on, we all do it. It's so easy just to spout. We'll bury the body parts later. Right? How many know I'm talking about? Come on, don't look at me like that. Do not. I know, come on. I'm preaching to you and me. But one of the things is this. We will start learning how to say things in a different manner. Do you know the same mouth that can stand up and blow people out of the water can also encourage people? Have you ever heard this thing? Someone says for every one negative thing you tell somebody, you should tell them 7 positive things. Sometimes people don't respond to the positive things we say because we have it flipped. For every 7 negative things we say, we had a teenager in our youth group many years ago. I mean, a long time ago, early days of church. And this kid started doing, we had all kinds of troubles. We worked with them. They started doing right. We were talking to the parents. I'm like, your child's really doing good. You should encourage them and let them know they're doing good. And here's what they told me. They said, oh, no. Because if we say good things to them, they'll only do bad. I'm like, well, you know, the Bible kind of disagrees with you on that. If you never tell them they're doing something good, they get discouraged. But encouragement. What are we saying? Be careful we don't say things in anger that we shouldn't. Look for opportunities to say encouraging things. Next, here's another area we should be bearing fruit. It's in sanctification. That's living a righteous life. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8 and 9 says this. For ye were sometimes darkness. What does that mean? We lived a life, to be honest with you, the things we were doing and all that, it's dark, not good. But now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. We ought to be walking in such, by the way, light illuminates, and it's also very visible. When we lived in Florida for a year, and I had a job as a maintenance man of a condo. It was on a private island. It was a 12-story condo, and I was responsible for it, everything, you know, all the maintenance and all that stuff. And so I noticed when I was there, they had a marble floor, and it was really high end. And I'm like, this is a little bit. It doesn't seem as bright. It was a little dirty. I'm like, how do you do this? So I researched it, and I got all the stuff. I got the special stuff, and I got the machine and all that. And I'm like, I'm going to make this thing look good. And I went out there, and I buffed it for hours. You know, the people that lived there would come up and down and see it, and like, oh, hey, you're doing a great job. Yeah, it's about time we did that. And I did it. And then when I got done, I thought it looked good. And so, you know, I'm out there just touching up, and people were coming. I'm like, they're going to notice. They told me how bad it was, right? They got to notice how good it is. So I waited out there, and they came out there, and I noticed no one said anything. I'm like, man, that was a lot of work. Did it make a difference? And then I noticed something. I'm like, I looked at the lights. I'm like, those aren't bright enough. So I went, and I found these lights that were like 3 times brighter. I didn't do anything else to the floor, and I changed the lights, and it was super bright, and I stood out there. And everybody that got off the elevator for the first time said, whoa, look at how good this floor looks. I didn't do anything different. I illuminated it. The brighter it was, the better it looked. You know, we lived in darkness, and God says, I'm making things bright now. You can see exactly what's going on. I'm going to illuminate everything in your life, and you're going to live a different way. When I walked in darkness, I thought this was the best way to live, and now I'm walking as a child of life, and I know this is the best way to live. That's why in this one area, you can know if it's making a difference by, is your life changing? Well, Pastor, I want to be down there in my life, and I'm struggling. It doesn't matter. Are you headed that direction? Are you making progress? The last thing is this, and I won't spend a lot of time on it, and you're going to say you're saying it because you're a pastor. It's how about stewardship? Philippians 4:17 says, even in Thessalonica, you sent once and again to my necessities. Talking about giving. Not because I desire a gift. Paul said, I didn't want your money for your money. He says, but I desire that fruit may abound to your account. One of the last things a person will usually get involved with is giving. By the way, you know that there's a thing about giving. God commands us to give, but then he does this. It's interesting. And then he blesses us. It's like we're investing. You know, we talked about the missions and the churches. Brother Ross sent me pictures of what's going on in those churches over in a communist country. And I'm like, wow. I invest in that, by the way. We see our bus is coming in now. Thank you for buying that brand new bus. When we get that new route started and you see it coming in full, that's because you invested. Everything that's going on here, you know why it's happening? Yes, because you gave because God told you to, but you invested. And you partake in the fruit of what you give to. See, stewardship is God gives me everything, and what am I going to do with it? And what God wants me to do with it is use it the way he wants, and he wants us to invest in things. And Paul says, there's fruit on your account. When you give to the church, you're obedient to God, yes, but you are partaking in every good thing that happens. When you give to our missionaries overseas, and they, you know, it's a different thing over there. We should be thankful we live in America, by the way. But everything they're doing over there, these Muslim villages that have been reached, these Buddhist people that didn't even know who God was, and they've been reached, and their families have been changed. You know why? Because we gave to that. That's our fruit. We invested in that. What am I saying today? I don't know. Actually, I do. These are all basic. The basic thing, look, it's not, we've talked about spending time with God, being in the scriptures, the fruit of the Spirit, sharing your faith, being careful about what you say, living the way the Bible says, and giving to God, those are all basics. But they're all fruit of being a Christian. Now, are there any of these areas where you might be struggling? I don't know what it is. Maybe you're not spending time with God. You're not connected to Him, and we wonder why we struggle. Whatever the area is, why don't we level up this morning? Because it's the basic things that help us to get to where God wants us to be. God doesn't make it hard. It's very, very simple. Let's bow our head and close our eyes for a minute, if we may. Thank you for listening. Leveling up. God wants us to level up in everything we're doing to get to a new level. By the way, new level, new blessings, new fruit. More fruit. And by the way, lasting fruit. Maybe some of these areas used to be a part of your life, and now they no longer are, because you were developing fruit, but something got you disconnected to the vine. Fruit. The thing about fruit is this. If you're honest with yourself, you know whether or not it's working. And that's a good thing, by the way, because you know where you need to change, where you need to level up. Now, let me say this, and we'll have our invitation. If you are not a Christian, you're not going to have this type of lasting fruit. You're not. First step is trusting Jesus Christ. What do I mean by that? Here's what I mean. If you were to die today, are you 100% for sure that you would go to heaven? Or do you have any doubt? Can I just tell you this? If you have any doubt, you need to get that settled today. With no one looking around, if you would say, Pastor, that's me. I'm not 100% for sure. If I were to die today, I'd go to heaven. But that's something I'd like to know. Pastor, would you pray for me? With nobody looking around, would you just raise your hand for a minute? Anybody at all? Anybody at all? Yes, see you right here. Let's stand together if we may. Every head bowed, every eye closed just for a minute. You know, there are areas in your life where you need to level up. Maybe you had fruit and it's a little bit less. Maybe you're like, I want to experience this fruit. That's what this altar's for. If that's you, why don't you come? Why don't you come as the piano plays?